How many love the Bible as the Word of God? Yes. It's really fascinating, and it's a lot of fun to be able to look at all of the various facets of the Scripture. You can sit there all day long and go, oh yeah, that's just a bunch of interesting stuff. It is a bunch of interesting stuff, and the Bible was written by God. In the beginning, God. How many want to build their lives according to the Scripture? How many love the Word of God? Yes. Turn to each other and say, I love the Bible. How about you? So what we want to do is we want to take a few minutes this morning and take a look and see what does the Bible say about how we're to conduct ourselves in a service when we're looking at flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. I want God to be present and welcome and excited to be here in our midst. And that's what the Scripture declares. When two or more are gathered together, there He is in the midst. How many believe that God is here this morning? And you want to please Jesus in all that you do, right? Let's take a look and see what the Scripture says and how to conduct ourselves in worship. Now, as we do this, remember there are other materials that we've preached previously on prayer, fasting, and worship, which is on the website under the Building Your Faith series. There are other materials we've preached on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So as we approach some of these things this morning, the gifts of the Spirit and gifts of tongues and things like that, we're going to look and go quickly through what does the Bible teach us about these things and how to conduct ourselves in it. Again, we're in a series on the gifts of the Spirit. We've discussed apostles and prophets. Last week, again, the gifts of the Spirit flowed freely, and I'm so thrilled. Good job, everybody. How many want to keep going and keep growing? Amen. All right, we are made to worship Jesus. Let's take a look at some of these scriptures, Pat. Thank you so much. And read them up here with us. If you don't have a Bible with you, we have some that we can get you. Or look in your own scriptures. Revelation 4, verse 11. Would you please read this out loud with me? This is from the King James this morning. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. You know that includes you? Yes. Amen. And for thy pleasure. Now that Greek word is thelema, and the word pleasure means for his special determination, his purpose, his decree. So when you take a look at the Greek, you understand a little bit more about what is this meaning. God is saying you are created for his special determination. You're created for God's purpose and God's decree. We are and were created. I want to fulfill the plan for which God has created me. And let's take a look at what does that include as we look in the Scriptures. John 4, verse 23 from the New King James. But the hour is coming. Would you boom it out with me, please? But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Has He found a room full of people who want to be that kind of worshiper? I want to worship You, Lord, in spirit and in truth, according to the leading of Your Spirit, according to the written Word of God. Implanted in my spirit, but don't just let me learn logos, let it come alive in my life as I walk and live the Word of God as well. Next scripture, please. After this, Acts 15, verses 16 and 17. After this, I will return and will rebuild the what?
Tabernacle.
The tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. God's promise and God's heart is to rebuild which temple? The tabernacle of David. And what happened in the tabernacle of David? 24-hour praise and worship, singing songs, playing with instruments, and clapping their hands and raising their hands, and Davidic worship delighted the heart of God. So when you come over to the New Testament, people can say all day long, oh, that's just Old Testament. You come to the New Testament, and Jesus says, I will build my church, and also when you know when it's the last days, because He is rebuilding the tabernacle of David. That worshiping place, that place where He is loved and lifted up. God tells us that He loves to live in worship. The place of full-hearted abandonment of a heart to God. That's what we need to be in church, don't we? Let's go to Psalm 22, verse 3. You are holy, O you who are, please say it with me, enthroned upon the praises of Israel. So when you lift up your praise and worship to God in your heart and in your mind, our hearts and minds need to be thinking, Lord, help me to create the most beautiful throne for you that I can possibly build. So that's why it's more than just singing a hymn. It's more than just singing a chorus. I'm building a throne for God to inhabit. How many want to build the best throne you can for God? Amen. I want to build a great throne. Look at the gifts of the Spirit even expressed in the Old Testament as we look at it. The next scripture, 1 Chronicles 25, 1 through 3. Moreover, David and the captains of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph, of Heman, and of Jeduthun. They were three worship leaders that David raised up, who should prophesy with what? Hearts. Stringed instruments. I guess that doesn't have to say guitars, but we get to play stringed instruments now, right? With harps, with stringed instruments and cymbals, under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied according to the order of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, under the direction of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. The scripture talks about praise and worship. How many want to be a praiser and a worshiper?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. There's a couple of old phrases. As the praise ascends, the glory of God, or the Spirit, descends upon us. You've heard the old phrase, be under the spout where the glory comes out? Some of you are like, what? What did he say? Be under the spout where the glory comes out. We like to know, we like to sense and feel the presence of God in our lives. And as worship ascends, you find in the Bible all sorts of expressions. People do the following things. Go ahead, Pat, pull it down. Fall down under His glory, according to the book of Revelation. And then they kneel before the Lord, or they bow their heads before God. They worship, laugh, and cry, all expressions of His presence. They lift up holy hands. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that the worshipers made the sounds as of a mighty water, the many waters. How many in this room have ever stood next to a roaring waterfall? Is it just quiet and petite sounding? Like a little babbling brook? Anybody here ever been to Niagara? What's the sound there? An absolute deafening roar, isn't it? It's a roar. And so when you get to heaven and you look at what God wants in worship, it's sometimes loud. And you look at me and go, Pastor Kevin, I'm a quiet personality. That's okay. God built you just the way you are. But therefore, He says, okay, Mr. Quiet, Mrs. Quiet, get a little louder. The Bible says there's space for about a half hour in heaven where it's silent. Then you can fit in right there. But the Bible is full of, as we worship God, there's the sounds of mighty waters and rushing waters, and we sing and praise and thank Him, we give Him glory. All are Bible expressions in this. And our bodies are involved. Our hands and our voices. The Bible says, lift up holy hands. How many know that scripture? Ever heard of that scripture? 1 Timothy 1, chapter 2, verse 8. Lifting up holy hands. And the Bible talks about worship being very physical and very demonstrative and very loud. And it's not a personality thing. In fact, how many of you understand the issue isn't what makes us comfortable? The issue of worship is what makes God comfortable. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Punch your neighbor and say, that was an uncomfortable truth. It's what makes God comfortable, and He lives in worship and loves worship. So we see the elders in the book of Revelations falling down, and we see the Lamb of God as the light and the glory of God being the new heavenly Jerusalem celebrating, and we sing and praise and thank Him and give Him glory. All Bible expressions. But Pastor Kevin, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, let all things be done, say it real loud with me, please, boom it out, decently and in order. Don't you know that, Pastor Kevin? Those things don't sound very decent and in order to me. The New American Standard Bible, do them properly and in an orderly manner. Now, as we take a look at the word decently, the Greek word or the transliteration of it is eskumonos, and it literally means doing it decorum or with decorously or honestly. in order is the Greek word taxis. And it means in regular arrangement, a fixed succession of rank or character, officially in dignity. But you see, God's kind of dignity is a little different than ours. Anybody in this room want to be called God's frozen chosen? No, I don't want to be that either. I don't make light of people that are quiet before the Lord, but the issue is God's decorum in His house needs to be done decently and in order, but it's different than how we see decorum. But what does God say? What's the first part of that verse say? Let all, come on, say it with me, all things be, I'm sorry, what does that say? Let all things be done. Got to get the river flowing, and then you can bring structure and parameter. And I don't see too many people here in this room swinging from chandeliers. We don't have any to swing from. Some of you might. But the issue is, let all things be done. Now, if you'll turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to spend a few minutes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And as we take a look at it, Pat, you can cover up the scripture there. Thank you. As we take a look at the background of Corinth, we have to understand these people were saved as Gentiles out of a radical, raucous society. You remember Corinth, and to Corinthianize means sexual promiscuity, and Corinth was a place where it was just sailors coming in overnight and houses of prostitution, and they managed to call those places of worship, and they had temples to foreign gods where there were 1,000 prostitutes, and the people who got saved got Jesus into them, but had trouble getting the world out. So they got Jesus in, but they had some trouble getting the world out. People kind of like you and me. Okay? Now, they also had close by, remember, the Oracle of Delphi. How many remember the Oracle of Delphi? The Oracle of Delphi, where they would go up to this mountainside, and basically this stoned priestess had inhaled the vapors of gases and fumes that would come up between the rocks. They've determined even yet today, this many centuries later, that those fumes and vapors still are present. And so the oracle, or the priestess, would then deliver prophecies. She would begin to babble. And as she would begin to babble, another priest or two would interpret her babblings. Usually, people paid big money, and they brought their questions to the priestess or the Oracle of Delphi so they could get their future and their fortune told. They paid big money for it, and what they got was a bunch of vain or vague babblings. Then you come over to the New Testament, and the Holy Spirit moves on God's people, and the Apostle Paul is attempting in the book of Corinthians to help these people who are wildly flowing in the gifts of the Spirit to get some structure and some perspective. These guys are thrilled because all of a sudden, all of them can speak in tongues. So you've got the Oracle of Delphi, and they're familiar with vain babblings with interpretation. And Paul says, wait a minute, it's not that you can all minister gifts. Isn't that great? You can be proud of it all day long. But then Paul teaches the context for the gifts, which is different than the world. He says, God says, it's all to be in the spirit of love. Remember? 1 Corinthians 12, gifts. 1 Corinthians 13, love. 1 Corinthians 14, gifts. Love is the context. Let all things be done decently and in order and to edify the saints. Look at each other and say, we're supposed to build each other up in the church. Build each other up. So Paul teaches them now about prophecy and about the gifts of the Spirit. And he teaches them not to be proud of their gifts, but to love. The gifts of the Spirit are to be encouraging and edifying and bring comfort. And our key text, 1 Corinthians 14. Let's look at verse 39 first. 1 Corinthians 14, 39. Wherefore, brethren, the Scripture says, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. Covet to prophesy. The word covet is seleo. And it means earnestly desire this. Have warm feelings toward wanting to bring the prophetic word to bless your brothers and sisters in Christ. Wanting to hear the voice of God and wanting to deliver God's heart and His mind. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 20. Don't despise prophecy. Don't think of it as least esteemed or contemptible. Anybody ever been tempted to feel that way about prophecy? What are these crazy people doing? Just popping off this stuff. And I've received prophecy that's never come to pass in my life. And, well, we can despise prophecy. But the Bible says, don't despise it. We understand in part. We prophesy in part. We speak with English or with a language we understand. We speak in one that doesn't seem so understandable to us. But in all things, let God be glorified and let the body be edified. Turn to each other again. Say, we're supposed to be edified. Don't forbid to speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 talks about tongues of men and angels. God is not against this gift, but He's given this gift to communicate with Him. And when it happens in the corporate setting, when all the songs die down and there's a pause, and then what comes forth is the word of the Lord, what also could come forth is the gift of tongues. That's different than the personal prayer language. And that one must have what? Tongues and interpretation. Because God wants His people built up and edified. So that kind of tongues can happen either man to God or God to man. And we can be in praise of God and all of those things, but it's part of His utterance gifts according to the Bible. The Bible also says you speak in tongues, your personal prayer language, to what? Edify yourself. Build yourself up. Anybody in this room ever need any strength in the Lord? How many still work a job? How many still work jobs? A few of you. You ever need strength on that job? How many are retired, just need strength to live with your spouse? Just need that strength. So the Bible says, boy, you need to be speaking in tongues. I got a response on that one. Some of you came awake for the first time here this morning. So there's that building up and there's that edifying. Watch what the Scripture says. And I'm going to read it out of the King James and then give you some Greek as we look at it. Watch what this says. Some people say, well, now, speaking in tongues is fine, but the Bible says He wants prophecy in the church. And I'm rather supposed to be prophesying. Watch what it says in the Greek. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather, and that rather in the Greek, take your Nestle's interlinear, rather in order that ye prophesy. In other words, that ye be built up in the Spirit by the spiritual gift God has given you. As you're edified and built up, then you're able to hear the voice of the Spirit. Then you're able to minister the prophecy of God. Does that make sense? That's what the Scripture is teaching. Not one in contrast to the other, but being built up in the one in order to minister to the other. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edification. Again, 1 Corinthians 12 is dealing with a private prayer language. 1 Corinthians 14, the conduct of the gifts of the Spirit in the congregational setting. So tongues has to be interpreted when it comes out like a prophecy in the midst of the congregation. All right, how else do we minister the gifts of the Spirit? Next is, we're going to be talking about with right heart motives. Right heart motives. 1 Corinthians 14, 3. He who prophesies, please speak it with me, speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. In the Greek, that literally is building up, solace, and consolation. There's a comfort. Now, some of you have told me stories. Pastor Kevin, I've been in churches where prophecy got really weird. And every Sunday, somebody was popping off prophesying judgment over here on somebody else in the congregation. Some of you are nodding your heads. How many of you know that is not the will of God? Come on, I said, how many of you know that's not the will of God? If you've got aught with one another, difficulties with one another, you don't pop off prophetically in the congregation, you're going to be judged on Tuesday. That's not the purpose of prophecy. The Bible says get your relationships right with one another. And then the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit are edifying, consoling, building, comforting, encouraging. It's supposed to be hearing the heart of God and the voice of God encourage us as we walk in this tough-to-live-in world today. Amen. Come on, anybody ever have to worry about a tough-to-live-in world? Yeah. A couple of you are looking real sanctimonious. You haven't gotten out lately, I can tell. Sometimes the world is tough to live in, folks. And so we come to church to be built up. I was watching a preacher just for a few minutes before I came here this morning talking about the church. And this guy was going on and on about the church is the answer of God. The church is where you find your destiny. The church is where you find your place of belonging, peace, and strength in one another. And sometimes people push an option button on church nowadays. I don't have to go, no big deal. Church is where you go to be built up, so you go back out in the world and live His presence and stay strong for Him. Where you go demonstrate and lift up His light. He was talking about take your kids to church. Don't make it an option. Your kids need to be in church. Kids, good for you. You're all in church this morning. Hey, did Pastor Kev call me a kid?
Yeah.
Building one another. It's the voice of the bridegroom speaking to his bride. Speaking to his bride. Comforting. Encouraging. Judgment is not the realm of the prophesier. The Bible, and we're going to see the verse in a moment, talks about every one of us can be a prophesier. You may all prophesy, one by one, the Bible says. That's different than the office gift of the prophet. We've spoken about apostles, we've spoken about prophets. Prophesying and a prophesier is different than a prophet. The prophet is filled with a gift of the Spirit, with an unction and an office to fulfill. But even that prophet who has a strong word of correction needs to be under the hands of leadership and under the hands of mutual submission in the body of Christ, so he doesn't just walk in and slay people, but that he brings edification as he is also bringing correction. If you feel that that's your gift and God gives you a word of judgment, I'm going to tell you that's not appropriate to bring in the congregational setting. That needs to be submitted to one of the pastors of the church so we can look together at how God wants that best ministered to the congregation. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so there's a known entity, the quality of knowing these people who minister. The Bible says, and you'll be grateful for it, know well those who labor among you. Amen? All right, so there's fruitfulness. So the prophesier is what we're talking about this morning. And so there is, in 1 Corinthians 14, an expression or a teaching saying, I would rather have, in the congregational setting, you prophesying than just speaking in tongues. Meaning, if you just speak out in tongues during those times, and nobody is there to interpret, nobody goes home edified. Nobody can understand. So Paul says, I would rather have 5 words of a language understood than 10,000 in a language not understood. Does that make sense? There's our context, unless there is an interpretation. So we see God's heart in the congregational setting. Again, all may speak in tongues, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul even says, I speak in tongues more than you all. And he's not putting people down or saying, I can do this, but I know some of you can't. That's not his heart. But his heart is to say, okay, Corinthians, you're doing all things. Now let's get it going in the right direction with the right heart, the right spirit, and the right perspective. When everybody sings and worships and prays out loud together, there's corporate speaking in tongues. That's each person blessing and worshiping God with the language God has given them. That's fine. But when everything quiets down and it's a singular voice that comes out like a prophecy, if it comes out in tongues, it must have an interpretation. Let's look at the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the what? Edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in tongue, pray that he may interpret. If God moves on you during a corporate worship service, everything quiets down and you feel a prompting to speak out a message in tongues, pray that God will give you the interpretation. If someone around you doesn't have an interpretation, pray that God gives it to you. You see what I'm saying? There shouldn't be a long pregnant pause. You know what I mean by pregnant pause, don't you? Where everybody's sitting there and starts to squirm. Okay, who's got it? Who's got it? Well, if you're the speaker and you brought it forth, then you need to pray that God will give you that interpretation. Because God is wanting his people edified and blessed. All right? God's purpose, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Watch this next sentence, would you please? In fact, say it out loud if you'll pull it up real high, Pat. People need to see more than they understand to grasp that God is bigger than what they know. Some people say, you know, Pastor Kev, wouldn't this be more comfortable off in some side room somewhere? No. No, because God wants his church edified. And he wants the gifts of the Spirit flowing. We want to do all things, but we want to do them decently and in order. We want to be under the hand of God and under the hand of his teaching. And we want the river to flow. Anybody want the river to flow? We want the life-giving river of God. And we want to be fed by his Spirit. We want to hear what God's got to say. So sometimes people come in and they go, I don't know what this is all about. This crazy stuff. But sometimes we need to just, all the time, we need to trust God's big enough. Sometimes people need to see more than what they've seen before to know that God is bigger than the box they have him in. God ever done that to you? Come on, anybody ever had that happen in your life? I remember when I got saved, I went to church every single Sunday. I couldn't stand it. My mother was a preacher's kid, and I was the youngest of three, and I got drugged to church. My older two brothers could get out of it. I could never get out of it. So church had this certain identified box that I sat in the back. I never knew what a fellowship hall was. Anybody like that? You know, amen, on the way out the door, preacher barely beat me back there to shake my hand. But when I got saved and really gave my life to Jesus, all of a sudden, it made sense. And I saw things that I had no idea. I mean, speaking in tongues and interpretation, prophecy, singing in the Spirit. What are they? And this guy up front playing a guitar, playing his wild rock and roll every Sunday morning. Well, country kind of rock and roll. Well, I think one of you had an experience with somebody out on the golf course where somebody said, yeah, I've been to that church, but you know that pastor just played that wild rock and roll. Oh, well, you know, I've just always been wild in my life. So. Anyway, but I saw things that I hadn't seen before, and it piqued my interest. It bugged me. Come on, ever been bugged by God? You know, you can't say that in church, Pastor Kevin. I've been bugged by God. And God does just knows exactly what he's doing, doesn't he? Have you ever been in a place where, man, all of a sudden you got the squeeze on your life, you're running out of options, there's nothing else you can do, but all of a sudden you finally stop and look up and go, you're behind this, aren't you? I've had times where that's happened and I've all of a sudden just started to laugh and say, oh, okay, God. You know what you're after. I have no idea. But God put me in a situation where I didn't have understanding to show me he had more than I knew. God is bigger than what I know. People need to see more than they understand to grasp that God is bigger than what they know. We've talked a lot, and I love my brethren who believe fully in seeker-sensitive churches. You're always sensitive to the visitor or the guest. I love our guests and visitors, but you know what? My heart is first and foremost responsible to be God-sensitive and reach out in love while we're doing that. Does that make sense to you? And so we're going to worship him and love people too. All right, let's talk about some practical considerations. I don't know if I have those up there. Do I, Pat? Did I put them on there? All right, no, I didn't. Let's talk about some practical considerations, and then let's go to worship and enjoy singing some songs before the Lord and the gifts of the Spirit to flow. Number one, if you're going to minister the gifts of the Spirit, you got to be loud enough to hear. What did I say?
Loud enough to hear.
Come on, say it one more time. Be loud enough to speak up or don't speak. And I'd encourage you to speak up. Because you want to speak what God once said. The problem is, if you don't speak up, people don't know. And it's confusing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So if you have something, the scripture also says, if you've got a word from God, give it as the oracle of God. So speak it out. Speak it out. And if you are a learner and you've not done these before, we have opportunity on Wednesday night grace gatherings. Come and learn and practice how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Practice! Yeah, practice. It's all about growing and learning and stepping out into the river of God. And then be loud enough to hear. Number two, one at a time. All believers, saved, washed by the blood of Jesus, surrendered to Him, known by the congregation, can minister the gifts of the Spirit. If somebody comes who is a dedicated Christian, who is a consistent prophesier, and we don't know them, they should simply make their way to one of us as pastors and say, hey, I've got a word, and we can talk about it together and then give freedom. You grow with practice. 1 Corinthians 14, 31 through 32, you can all prophesy one by one that all may what? Learn, and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And that leads to the third point. Be sensitive to the flow of the Spirit in the service. Where if somebody looks up and says, I just couldn't help myself. I had to shout it out, even though it was the opposite of everything else happening in that service that morning. How many of you know that wasn't God? Okay? If the Spirit of the Lord is speaking all about the joy that's ringing in our spirits, joy, 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 and you stand up and say, I just got to give this prophecy on judgment, that's not where the river's flowing that morning. Just hold on to it. If it's from God and the Lord has spoken to your heart, maybe He was speaking to you personally, but maybe it's for a different service, a different time. So we want to listen. Okay, Lord, what are you saying? And if it's not what God is saying into that meeting, the Bible says you don't have to blurt it out. Hold on to it. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. If it's appropriate, wait for that pause in the song service and give it with boldness. And if it's not, then don't worry about it. If you have a question, come see one of us as one of the pastors and let us know. And you know, go find Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry. Say, I feel like God's speaking this to me. And if you're learning, I mean, you're welcome to do that. And then the next point is be consistent in your voice. What do I mean? The voice of the bridegroom speaks to us. Jesus speaks to us. The voice of the bride responds. If you've got God's word speaking to us, and after you've given that word, you want to respond congregationally in thanks as the bride to the bridegroom. Great. But don't do them both in mid-sentence. Anybody tracking with me? I've done that. I've done that a long time ago where you feel like God's speaking and you give a few words in one direction, then you switch and it's you thanking God. It's confusing. So you give a consistent voice. And then respond. Does that make sense? You all following what I'm saying? So there's consistency, so there's no confusion. And we get excited about the Spirit of the Lord moving, and we'll learn together. All right, let me give you one other point. Songs of the Lord are welcome here. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Songs of the Lord are what?
Welcome.
Paula sang a beautiful song of the Lord last week, and Pastor Sherry picked up the chorus and sang, and Mark and Margie sang, I've been told all about this. That sounds wonderful. The song of the Lord is the same prophetic unction from the Spirit of God leading us into a heart of response. How many are worshipers in this room? Come on, I said, how many are worshipers? We want to worship Him freely and we want Him to feel free to lead us. There's different kinds of song in the Lord. Antiphonal singing where you sing one line and the congregation responds and sings it back. And there's just opportunity for the Spirit of God. Lord, move by Your Spirit in our midst. That's what we're saying. So let's hear the conclusion of the matter. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. What is the conclusion then? Say it with me, please. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Let's see. Then there's one more. How is it then, brethren, 1 Corinthians 14:26, whenever you come together, each of you has a what?
A song.
Has a teaching. Has a tongue. Has a revelation. Has an interpretation. Say it with me, please, and really boom it out. Let all things be done for edification. I haven't spoken about the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom and healing and miracles and visions, but the same perspectives apply as we listen to the voice of God and we step forward into the gifts of the Spirit. I, for one, want the river of God to freely flow. Amen.